and say their name just for the audio, the recording, and then we can sort of dive in and get started. So we'll do it first here in San Francisco, and you know, then we'll just like let the rest of the folks on the line say
it. Alphabetical. That sometimes works well.
All right, we can do it in alphabetical order after we run through this on the line. So this is Ellie.
This is Holden.
Carrie.
Devin.
All right, and then I guess we'll start with you, Bridget.
This is Bridget.
People should just guess. No one's
sure. Who knows who comes next? This is Rob here.
All right, whatever. Just
it's Tom. I'm an R, so I'm calling you Rob.
Yeah. This is Phil.
Well, if we're calling my first name, I'm Julia, so I guess I should have gone already.
And Tim is here. I think I'm behind everybody. Except for Tom, of course.
That was fun.
Great idea, Holden. Glad that you suggested it. So let's get started. So the first orders of business. The first are to reelect the existing board members. So we haven't yet voted on Julia's election. So we're just going to propose that everyone vote to reelect all current board members, and to do that, just email your vote to Holden, and you can just vote to reelect all board members. Obviously, if there's any questions or comments on this item, we're happy to discuss it.
Email, you said Holden? Email Holden?
Yeah, just email Holden.
And you want a separate thing about Julia, or that's already done?
We'll do that. We'll do that separately.
Okay.
All right. So the next item is to we propose adding Julia to the board of directors. I think we sent out a note about Julia to the whole board, but I'm not sure. She's talked to a few people, Rob and Tom and Bridget, I believe. Julia's been a long time follower of GiveWell, and she and her husband are significant contributors to our top charities. And we think she really represents a core part of our audience and is an important stakeholder in GiveWell. So we think she'd really make a great board member. So we propose adding her if you have any questions about that, feel free to raise them. Otherwise, vote, just email your vote to Holden.
I'm getting a lot of email.
What's your Wi-Fi password?
It's the guest network, and then real change is the password.
Guest network.
Guest, like GiveWell, GiveVentures, OpenCell.
For the record, I'd say it's favor by it's putting both in one email.
Thank you, Tim. We appreciate that. And so does the environment. So now to move on to the next item, here, this is item B in the agenda. There's no vote required here, but these are documents that we send to the board for review on an annual basis. It's the document retention and destruction policy, a just list of the insurance policies that we hold, and other kind of basic items about the organization. If anyone has any questions about these, please let me know. We can discuss them, but otherwise, so does anyone have any questions or comments about attachments A or B? Great. Moving on. So item C is discussion of, the Open Philanthropy Project and then GiveWell's and GoodVentures' relative roles and responsibilities. This is a topic that has come up a number of times at past meetings. And so this is the meeting where we wanted to discuss any questions that people had. Attachment C gives, briefly lays out some of the key questions that have come up in the past and how we're planning to how we think about the answers to them. Again, there's no vote required. So this is really just an opportunity to ask more questions and have a discussion about, you know, any outstanding issues that you think we should address related to open philanthropy and Good Ventures, GiveWell, and then potentially any other partners.
This is Phil. I'll start the ball rolling if nobody minds. I did read through this here, and I think I was one of the ones who sort of had suggested that this kind of thing be, that this kind of clarity be added. A couple things. The first thing is the Open Philanthropy Project is a joint initiative of GiveWell and Good Ventures. Just to be clear, OPP or Open Phil is not any kind of legal entity, right? It's not a partnership, a 501c3, anything like that. It's just sort of a program, right?
Yep.
That's right.
Okay. And then you mentioned a little bit further down that you had signed a memorandum of understanding and kind of run things by a lawyer. Just out of curiosity, do you deal with a lawyer who kind of specializes in 501c3s and charities and foundations, or just kind of are there lawyers who do that? Do you work with kind of a general lawyer?
Yeah, the lawyer is specializes in charitable organizations.
Okay. And that lawyer feels with minor changes that things are in pretty good shape as far as how the relationship is defined right now?
Yep, that's right.
Okay. One thing a little further down this document, there's a mention of something I hadn't heard of before, the Silicon Valley Community Foundation providing some administrative support. That one's, I guess they're supporting Good Ventures. Is that anything that you want to describe briefly what that is? I haven't heard of that before.
I mean, it's that, you know, the Good Ventures private foundation is housed at the Silicon Valley. I've already got the details wrong. Carrie's going to explain.
Yeah. So I just came back from the dentist, so I can't talk super well. But Good Ventures is a supporting organization to the Silicon Valley Community Foundation, which means we're like a subsidiary of the Silicon Valley Community Foundation. That provides like administrative support for our grant making, and I'm not 100% sure why it's included in this document, but that's what they are. Do you want to talk about why you included it here, Ellie?
I mean, we're just talking about all of the expense costs associated with the grants that Open Phil makes,
right?
And so Silicon Valley Community Foundation plays a role,
right,
in those grants going
right
out the door.
So when GiveWell staff
recommends...
I saw
the name I wasn't familiar with,
mm-hmm,
so I'm just curious.
Okay.
The last one here, my note, the last main comment I had here was about intellectual property. Good Ventures and GiveWell jointly own the copyright rights in the work that we create. All work published on the website in connection with OP is covered by a Creative Commons license. I guess the joint copyright was a little confusing to me. That's not one that I'm super familiar with from sort of a legal perspective. Is that a legal thing, or is that what do you mean by that?
So
if the two entities went their separate way, and let's say it's 5 years down the line, and by that time a large body of work had been built up, how would the handling of that be handled?
I mean, I think I don't have the perfect answer here. I mean, we sent the, you know, our initial MOU to the lawyer, and one of the suggestions that she made as we were working through this process was to say that we jointly own the copyright to this work product. I can't articulate exactly how this would play out, but she thought that was a reasonable
question. That actually came from the lawyer then. Okay,
yeah, that's right.
That's reasonable enough then. Okay, that was and I'm sorry I jumped in there. This is actually good. I like seeing this put out here a little more clearly, and this was something I like to see, and I just had a few questions on some of the details. That answers my questions for the time being. Thanks.
Great.
So, this is Rob. I have questions that have fallen into two different categories, or maybe similar questions, but from two different perspectives. So let me just say what those two perspectives are and see if there's any reason to talk about them separately. So we're board members of the entity GiveWell, not of the entity Good Ventures. Open Philanthropy Project is a joint project between Good Ventures and GiveWell. So I have a couple questions where I'm trying to ask them in my capacity as a steward of the interests of the entity called GiveWell. And then I have a separate set of questions that are, you know, some of them I could word them identically, but where I'm just curious as someone with interest in what Open Philanthropy becomes, where I'd love to just hear you talk about what types of things could evolve in the coming months or years that could lead you to change the arrangements that you've described in the document you distributed. So let me just start with the first one. If part of what our task is as a board members is to steward the interests of GiveWell, what are what would it mean for Open Philanthropy if Good Ventures were in some future scenario to wish to detach itself or withdraw from the partnership?
I mean, at least for the time being, Good Ventures is the, you know, the proximate funder of the grant opportunities that Open Philanthropy recommends. And so I think if Good Ventures wasn't participating, it would be a major blow to what Open Philanthropy could accomplish. Good Ventures is also a major funder of Open Philanthropy. And so it would, you know, we'd be in a tough funding situation. And so, I mean, I think we'd hope to be able to carry it on, but it would certainly like fundamentally change what the project would expect to accomplish.
Right. Okay. So, I mean, I ask this not because I'm worried that this is going to happen, of course, but because I feel like in order to get a sense of how to evaluate the roles and responsibilities, part of a board member's job is to imagine situations that could put GiveWell in some awkward position that we're supposed to, in some respects, you know, responsibility for thinking of ahead. So I apologize if it's an awkward question or, you know, it is considered to be such a low probability that it's not exactly worthy talking about.
No,
but what I hear you saying, Holden, is simply that, or was it Ellie? I'm not sure who just responded there.
Yeah.
The event in which Good Ventures were, for some reason, not to wish to participate in Open Philanthropy, you think GiveWell would view that as a significant obstacle, but no reason to worry that there could be, the employees the document describes of Open Philanthropy are employed by GiveWell. So you would consider the people who are employed by Open Philanthropy are employed by GiveWell, which means GiveWell has the responsibility for these folks, not Good Ventures. So that would immediately become solely GiveWell's responsibility fiscally, or maybe that already is the circumstance. And as Open Philanthropy grows, that will continue to be the case, and I'm assuming, or fiscally, Good Ventures provides a significant portion of the funding, but the ordinary responsibility for, you know, HR purposes, performance evaluation, falls to GiveWell, correct?
That's right. Yep.
Yeah, that's right. So, I mean, just if Good Ventures decided to walk away from Open Philanthropy tomorrow,
right.
You know, because that would mean two things. One, I think we would have to think about who would be the likely consumer of the recommendations that we made, and it would certainly like lower the you know, time sensitivity to like doing this research in some way, because the potential funder, we wouldn't have as likely a potential funder for this work. You know, obviously our long-term goal is to bring in more funders to support the type of work that we're doing, but that's not something that like we have lined up immediately. You know, the other major impact would just be that, you know, Good Ventures is a major funder of open philanthropy, you know, and, you know, and you know, we're proposing to increase the amount that we would ask Good Ventures to support of both open of open philanthropy relative to where it was before. And so I think if Good Ventures walked away tomorrow because all of the employees are employed by GiveWell, you know, I don't really know, but I don't think we would expect to keep most of that staff on long term. Right. I mean, we'd hope to work that out, but you know, the staff that we're hiring is being hired with the expectation that we'll maintain the relationship we have with Good Ventures. And if that,
right,
you know, didn't work out, we would probably like let people go.
I think Ellie's describing, right, a worst case scenario, even conditional on Good Ventures, you know, going the other way. So let me lay out like actually what I think, but I think it's good for Ellie to lay that out. Like, I think people should know that's a possible scenario, but let me just like lay,
right,
out the scenarios I think are, you know, likely if we went our separate ways. I think number one scenario is that if we went our separate ways, we would do so in a way that was, like, amicable and, like, allowed a period of planning and allowed a period of adjustment. I think that's overwhelmingly likely. I think it would be, like, at this point, I would say I have trouble imagining an event that would not look like that, where, like, it was just, like, oh, you know, we're done, like, you know, overnight. So in that event, I think the thing that we would do is, I mean, I look, if this happened today and I had to improvise and say, what are we going to do? I would say we are going to spend the next 6 months trying to find, you know, enough major donors or a major donor who can fulfill enough of that role so that we can keep things rolling. And I do think we'd have a shot at it. Like, have we ever spent 6 months trying to do that? No. Have we ever said, we don't have a major donor and we need one for this to exist, so please come help? No, we've never done that. That would be the first thing I would try. And then if that didn't work, you know, then I think we'd have to really, you know, then we'd have to go into the scenario Ellie's describing. And I think there's all kinds of things from, you know, well, we think we can at least raise enough money to keep the operations going and let's just keep this rolling for a few more years to hope we find a donor in that time, to let's shut the whole thing down right away. I think anything in that spectrum would be in play.
Right. Okay, one last question in this direction. What would be the downside from GiveWell's perspective to have open philanthropy employees employed by Good Ventures rather than GiveWell?
I mean, the reason we do it this way is because management is GiveWell staff. At least that's my, like, you know, I don't know, like, it's been Carrie's preference, and I think Carrie should chime in if I'm, like, mischaracterizing this, but I think it's the right thing to do. I mean, GiveWell manages people, and GiveWell's kind of, like, infrastructure and operations handle all the stuff involved with having them on board, so it, you know, just we didn't want some kind of, like, cross-organization reporting relationship, basically.
Does Good Ventures not have any employees?
That's correct.
Oh, okay, got it.
And, you know, the way I think about it is instead of hiring people to work directly and solely for us, like, we're supporting GiveWell,
right,
to create something that, you know, we're a customer of, but also has the potential to serve many more donors, and it isn't just a Carrie and Dustin thing.
Right.
Right.
You know, it's not driven by our personal interests. We help participate,
right,
in strategy setting, but it's something where trying to build to be a more independent force than is typical in the philanthropy world.
I mean, I think this is a slightly better arrangement for us than the other way, for GiveWell, in this kind of unlikely event, because it means that we would have kind of the inertia would be going toward, if we wanted to take 6 months to find another donor and keep everything running, we could. I mean, obviously, like, you also at that point would have a lot of individuals who could make their own decisions. So let's say Good Ventures said, we not only want to go our separate ways, we want to like hire these people away from GiveWell. I mean, I don't know, then it would be up to the people what to do. But certainly,
right,
like,
yeah,
when you think about defaults, it seems like this is a better setup for us than it would be otherwise.
Right. Okay. And then just one question in this direction about the announcement you guys made about the partnership with Caitlin Trigger and Mike Krieger.
Yep.
So if I have the details of that correct, the partnership at the moment involves a commitment of money where a modest percentage goes to GiveWell to support operations, by which I gather you mean, you know, staff support or, you know, infrastructure, and the overwhelming majority of which is meant to be grant money out the door, not through GiveWell recommendations, but through Open Field recommendations.
Yep.
Is that right?
That's right.
Okay. Are there circumstances in which you imagine that you'll seek to raise operating support for Open Fill staff and work that comes from other such partnerships, or is the idea that the 50% from Good Ventures is meant to be, you know, provide your needs for Open Fill costs internally? Is there any intention to diversify the funding for the operating cost of Open Fill?
So Good Ventures, so the 50% rule is Open Fill specific. So it's not the case that Good Ventures pays 50% of all of GiveWell, or funds 50% of all of GiveWell, which would be enough to cover Open Fill. That's not how we're doing it. Good Ventures is only covering half of Open Fill at the moment, which means that we do, you know, at this current moment, our model does seek some level of diversification in funding. Frankly, I'm not sure that's how we're going to want to keep it, and we've talked about, like, different, you know, possible approaches down the line as we separate the organizations. There may be, like, administrative and other advantages to not diversifying the funding, and I'm not sure how good an idea it is because of the fact that I think we'd have a major adjustment period in the event of going our separate ways regardless. But, yeah, I mean, I think right now that's where we are. It's 50% of Open Fill is funded by Good Ventures.
Got it. All right. So as you can tell, all of these questions are in the direction of how vulnerable could GiveWell turn out to be in a future scenario in which Open Philanthropy has grown significantly, but Good Ventures decides to detach itself. And what I'm hearing is, while no one thinks this is a likely outcome, the diversity of the funding base for GiveWell will continue to be significant, whereas that's likely not true for Open Philanthropy.
That's right. I mean, I would say overall that in the event of going our separate ways, where Open Fill is quite vulnerable. And I think that's appropriate.
Right.
Like, I think that's just, you know, we don't want to try and design things without having that be true, because it's always going to be true, or it's going to be true at this time regardless. And, you know, I would say GiveWell itself, GiveWell Top Charities, is very much not all that vulnerable. I mean, you know, what is it, like 20% of its support comes from Good Ventures, and that's designed so that that's really not a point of vulnerability if we go our separate ways.
Okay. All right, I've taken up plenty of time. Thanks for the answers.
Thanks, Rob.
Yeah, thank you.
Can you guys talk about the success metrics of Open Philanthropy in terms of the discovery and publication about opportunities versus the funding of those opportunities versus who funds those opportunities? How are you thinking about measuring success or Open Philanthropy across those dimensions?
Well, I think it depends on the stage of development. I mean, so I'm not sure if this answers your question, but I can lay out what our goals are at the moment, what our goals are in the future, and you can tell me if you feel like it's missing anything. I mean, I would say, you know, right now, our main goals are to basically help Good Ventures give away a lot more money than it's giving away now. I mean, that's the immediate goal. That's where we're trying to get. And I think, you know, it is in some ways a totally subjective metric, but I also think one that, like, we used to measure GiveWell's output this way too. We still do measure GiveWell's output this way. And I think it's an informative metric. It's just like, how much are we recommending? Like, how many dollars are we willing to give? Because right now, the answer is not that many. And, you know, right now there's not a lot of giving opportunities that we're recommending. So that's our short-term goal, is to pump that up. And so it's, you know, I would say that it's, I think helping Good Ventures get more money out the door is a decent way of putting it, because I'd say that if we, you know, if we made recommendations the conventors decided not to follow and no one else funded them and the recommendations were just sitting there, I think that would not be success. On the other hand, if we made recommendations and good ventures followed them and a lot of money was getting out the door, in the medium term, I would say we're doing great. The longer term goal is to pull in more donors. So, you know, I would say that once we, I mean, I think our first goal is to get up to where we can help good ventures give away as much as it wants to give away. And the next goal is to feel like we have more good things to do with money than good ventures can do. And the third goal is to then bring in more donors to get that stuff funded. So that's, I mean, it's not like we're doing them one at a time. As you know, we have this partnership with Caitlin and Mike. We talk to people. We, you know, we do low-key outreach. Like, we're exploring future funding partnerships now. But in terms of our main goals and how we're measuring success, that's how I see things playing out.
What about our research goals? Because we definitely have goals in terms of, like, how many causes we've looked at and reports we published.
So I was giving the bigger picture goals in a way that was like trying to be responsive to Tim's question. We do have more specific goals than that, and they're laid out in our annual report. So the, you know, I mean, it's very specific. It's like we have in U.S. policy, we now have a list of focus areas, and we had a goal by August 1st of making one big bet, which is defined as a grant of $5 million plus or a full-time hire. It's a stretch goal. And for global catastrophic risk, basically exactly the same. We've technically already hit that goal for U.S. policy. And so, and I think we're, you know, we're going to maybe sort of hit it for global catastrophic risks. We'll see. And then, you know, in August, we'll kind of revisit and reevaluate. But we'll have goals of comparable concreteness. So we'll say, well, this time we want to make two big bets because we actually have more staff now. And we also want to give away $5 million in the next year on criminal justice reform, which I think... As of August, I mean, I think we'll be saying that because we have a criminal justice reform program officer starting in August. And then on science, stretch goal, and I think we may have to revise this in a pessimistic direction soon. But the goal we set at the beginning of the year is to have focus areas within a year. So in other words, to be in a similar state there to where we were at the beginning of this year with U.S. policy, where we can say, here are our focus areas, and now our goal is to make a big bet. And that's the goals of Open Fill at this time.
Yeah, it's particularly helpful for me, that listing of 1, 2, 3, which is what I was trying to understand. And just to narrow in on that, I mean, if Open Fill finds something it wants to make a big bet, and someone else just pops up out of the woodwork and said, oh, we've been looking for something just like this, and we'd like to fully fund the room there.
Yeah.
Would the response to that be, Good Ventures has already committed that money. We're glad to know that you're out there, and we'll let you know of future opportunities. Or is it, oh, well, okay, we'll pick that money, and we'll look for other ways to deploy the Good Ventures money?
Oh, I mean, we always prefer to get stuff funded by someone else if we can. I mean, that's the basic operating framework. So as far as whether that would fulfill our goal, I mean, this gets a little hairy, but I would say if someone said, you folks have done all the work, and based on your recommendation, I would like to support this thing because I like the cause, I would count that as a success on the short-term metric. I would say we still have a long way to go helping Adventure spend as much money as it wants to spend, but I would say on the short-term metric, good bet, accomplished. On the other hand, if someone kind of, you know, gets some inspiration from us, but they do mostly their own due diligence, and they're mostly using their own framework, and we only played a partial role, I would say that's not a big bet. And I would say we need to be attentive as we look for big bets. We need to not sink all our time into something where that's going to happen. Like, we look for things that other people are not going to fund if we don't fund them. Yeah.
I don't have a follow-up to that other than to say I would think about that last one more.
Which
just based
one?
On my experience on how people are likely to fund recommendations, that I see a very likely outcome of you do find something that no one else would fund until they saw what you did.
Yeah.
But they still want to do some own due diligence because everybody feels like they have to put their fingerprints on something. But I would still consider that a success, even if somebody else did some due diligence, if you are attracting them to something that they hadn't thought about or considered before.
So we have had one case like that already.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think it really depends on the case, and we just have to ask, like, how big a role did we play? You know, did we kind of, like, help someone get inspired by something and then got, and then, but then kind of, they really took it from there, or did we really get someone inspired and then they did a little due diligence? You know, I think it, I think this is where things get a little fuzzy, and I'm okay with them being fuzzy. I don't think this needs to be, incredibly defined, because we're not doing something where we, you know, these goals are stretch goals, we hope we hit them, they're ways to guide us, there are ways to look back on what we did, but we don't need to define everything perfectly. Yeah, I mean, I think it just depends on the case. I mean, there was that case that Carrie's talking about. That was an interesting one. Like, we made a blog post, and then in response, someone sent us a funding proposal, and we looked at it, and we said, this is really cool, and we sent it to another funder that we thought would be interested, and then they took it from there, and they gave several $1 million. I don't know how I would count that if it happened today, but I think if that exact thing happened today, I would not count it as one of our big bets, because I feel like we never even really did the due diligence. Like, we never really even decided whether to fund the grant, because we just saw that someone else was going to run with it. So that's why in that case, I think it was a cool thing, and it's something that I'm always going to do when I can. I'm always going to, if I think I can get someone else to fund something and put in way less work and not get us to fund it, I'll always do that. But I'm not inclined to count that. You know, on the other hand, if we've got this grant we're working on now, if we've been putting in a ton of work, if we put in all the work and we write it up and then someone else sees it and, yeah, they want to, like, talk to the person themselves, I think I would still count that. So, I mean, some of it is about, like, you know, is this really a case where we did the work, we made the recommendation, and that got someone most of the way there? Or is this a case where, like, you know, we didn't even really figure out the situation. We just kind of connected two people.
Just for clarity's sake, is that Bits and Arnold or something that I don't
know? That's the Arnold one, the first one I was talking about.
Okay.
And that's public. We wrote about that on our blog.
Yeah. So this is Tom. I'd like to take a really high-level approach to this and just make sort of a overarching comment that I would like the definition and differentiation between OpenPhil and GoodWill to just be clearer. And I think, you know, all of us on this phone actually probably have a pretty good idea implicitly about what the differences are and what the goals are. But I think you know, some of the things you've mentioned are very practical, but they don't really sort of speak to the values and the strategies and the tactics of OpenPhil. I think GiveWell is actually pretty well defined at this point, but I think OpenPhil is still not that well defined, and I think it would be good for everybody if it was well defined. And I hate to be pedantic about this, because I did this once before and I felt creepy about it, but I think something like a very succinct, you know, mission statement and vision statement for OpenPhil would be really helpful in doing that.
Yeah, I mean, I think, I don't know, like, I feel like we've done a decent job. I think the thing we've really done a bad job of is that we don't have a real website for OpenPhil, and I think that makes it's like very hard to navigate the OpenPhil content, because it's all on GiveWell, and so there's this like GiveWell scaffolding, and you can't really tell like where you're going and where to click, and you know, no one knows if they want to check out what OpenPhil's doing, no one knows where to go. So I mean, we're working on, I mean, if we ever launch this website, there'll be two different websites. So it'll be GiveWell, there'll be OpenPhil. On the OpenPhil website, there will be, I mean, I think you've probably seen a draft of the website. There's like mission statement on the front. There's a, you know, research menu. The research menu goes to our current agenda, our current priorities, our current goals, our focus areas, all the grants we've made. I think it'll be pretty easy to deal with at that point. As far as a mission and vision statement, I mean, openphilanthropy.org right now, it's kind of a landing page. It doesn't have a ton of content, but I think it has what I would call a mission statement. And I don't know if you need a vision as well, but I'm pretty happy with openphilanthropy.org as far as like, what is this thing? I think that does fine. And the other thing I'll say here is that Open Philanthropy is now active enough in terms of like recruiting, in terms of grant making, in terms of networking. Like, this problem is not an abstract problem for us anymore. Like, there was a point at which it was really affecting us and our ability to do our work, that people didn't understand what we were and weren't understanding the distinction with GiveWell. And that's actually when we came up with the new name and when we launched this landing page. And I feel like the problem has largely gone away since then. So I would say, you know, we've got Open Philanthropy email addresses, we've got an Open Philanthropy website, That thing has its own mission statement. You know, we have our own story that we tell about open philanthropy, and it's all pretty consistent. And I don't think we're seeing nearly the same amount of confusion. So I basically think we've 90% solved this problem in terms of the work we have to do. I think it'll get easier for people who are not directly talking to us. I think it'll get easier for them to navigate everything when we have our own website. So I'd ask to revisit that question then. And if we're not living up to it then, we can talk about it.
Okay, so in openphilanthropy.org, it says, our mission is to give as effectively as we can and share our findings openly so that anyone can build on our work. I mean, I don't think that's, there are a lot of details beyond that that distinguish OpenPhil from GiveWell, but I think that statement applies to both.
Yeah, I mean, there's multiple statements that apply to both, but I don't think that's what... So I don't think a mission statement needs to be unique. I don't know. Like, I don't think that's what it's for. I think a mission statement says, who are you? What are you trying to do? In a way that people can understand and in a way that guides the work. I mean, I don't know. I think we are able to clearly distinguish between the two. Like, I know what to say if someone asks me the difference. But mostly, I think that's less important. Like, being able to tell... Like, I think we obviously need to have the answer to that. I think I have the answer to that. But I think in terms of, like, public content and stuff... I think what's much more important is that when someone deals with open philanthropy, they understand what it is. They understand who's involved, how they're involved, what the activities are, and that they don't get confused by things that are true of GiveWell and not open philanthropy. And that's a problem we were having a year ago that I don't think we're having now, where people would say, well, I looked at your website and it looks like you're really into bed nets. Like, I don't really know what to tell you about criminal justice. That's the kind of thing I think we really need to avoid, but I don't... Yeah, I mean, I don't know that we...
Yeah.
I think our mission statement's accurate. I don't think it needs to be unique.
Can I hop in here? This is Rob again. So just building on Tom's question. So you guys might have a very clear story already about exactly how to differentiate the two. But insofar as I want to be an ambassador for the work of GiveWell and Open Philanthropy, I'm not 100% sure I have it clear myself. So, for example, tell me, here's two ways I might think of describing open philanthropy. It takes a much wider lens on the possible causes and ways to maximize the effectiveness of giving. And it publishes in the same transparent way that GiveWell does its findings. And when Good Ventures... is convinced by these findings, it will likely make some grants. Alternatively, open philanthropy employees are kind of like program officers for Good Ventures, with the caveat that as a program officer, they're radically transparent in publishing or making available every bit of the analysis in the hope that other people might do the same. Either of those seems, at the moment, to me, kind of plausible descriptions about what's going on. But that just reflects my lack of understanding, perhaps, about it.
Yeah.
And for a longer horizon in there, and I think there's specific sort of strategic views that are prosecuting different focus areas within OpenPhil, about sort of building a research infrastructure and kind of building a case and being patient and, not sort of looking for near-term, I guess that's a horizon question, and kind of sort of near-term, room for more money this year.
I think those are all fairly accurate. I mean, I definitely have a way of describing the two. There's like a long way and a short way. And, I don't know, like the easiest place to get it would be the, like, our research event. We're going to put a transcript online, and my OpenPhil spiel always starts off with, like, here's the difference between OpenPhil and GiveWell. Here's how they're similar. Here's how they're different. So I do explicitly do that. As far as, like, whether we ought to take that content and kind of, like, clean it up and put it somewhere in particular, I'm definitely happy to do it. I'd be happy to do that. I'm not sure exactly where to put it, because we do want to have two separate websites, and, I don't know that... I don't know that it's actually that helpful for the two to mention each other. I mean, I'm actually thinking, like, I don't think we want to hide the relationship at all. I've mostly found that people get, like, people we're trying to deal with for one can get very confused when they look at the other. But I feel like we've had good results when we just say, hi, I'm writing from Open Philanthropy. This is what Open Philanthropy does. This is our website. This is our mission. This is our operation. And that's it. And we talk about that. That it feels has been going well. So I think we have the content you're looking for. And if you thought it was important for us to clean it up and put it somewhere, I think I'd be happy to do that. And I'm not totally sure where would the right place for that be, but open to suggestions.
Wouldn't the one place for that to be put is the new website? When isn't that going to go live sometime soon? Not too distant future.
It certainly could be somewhere on the new website. I want to emphasize that what's up?
There's a page called Good Ventures
there,
and Give Well.
There is a page called Good Ventures and Give Well, so that would be a good place for it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Actually, I think that might be on the homepage as well.
Mm-hmm.
No, I mean, it's true. Like, the current content there does not address that. So, we can do that. Like, we could add a, like, what is the difference? We could also add it to our FAQ, actually.
Good idea.
Yeah.
This is Bridget. I'm not sure if I should ask this now or when we go over the budget, but I recall from our last meeting, one of the reasons this came up in the first place was when we were looking at the budget, we couldn't see the distinction between Giglo expenses and OpenPhil expenses. And looking at it again now, I still am not really sure where the lines are drawn, and if that's something I guess we should be evaluating, I guess it goes back to the question of worst case scenario, how vulnerable we would be. I would like to have a better sense of what the split is between GiveWell and Open Philanthropy when it specifically comes to our budget.
It's just that's not something that's included in the budget we sent you. We could put something together that showed the portion of the budget that is OpenPhil and the portion that is GiveWell. Basically the way that it's set is that some staff are basically full-time OpenPhil, some are full-time GiveWell, and some are, X percent one versus the other. And so that's how we're doing the calculation for the grant sizes, but it's not something we put in the file we sent.
Okay, and for the grant to charity line?
Oh, so the grant. Why don't we go through these line items when we discuss the budget later,
okay,
just to make sure we're on the same page.
One thing, this is Phil. One thing that I'm thinking about in light of this whole thing is that there's a little bit of confusion, and I think maybe even amongst some folks on this phone call here, some board members. There's a legal entity, or there's an organization called Doing Business as GiveWell. It's actually legally, I think, the Clear Fund, which, is a 501c3, which has money and assets and all these employees, including everybody, basically, everybody who's there. In turn, that organization splits its efforts amongst two sort of different approaches or projects, the GiveWell project and the Open Philanthropy project. And maybe a little bit of the confusion is that the project, the content that we've known for all these years, the last 5 or 8 years or whatever, as GiveWell, shares the same name as sort of the organization. But, I mean, we're board members of GiveWell, the top-level organization. And to the
yep.
extent that we're, providing advice and looking out for the best interests, all those employees, including the Open Philanthropy employees, are GiveWell employees. And the
yep.
budget is GiveWell. And there's this relationship with Good Ventures, by which Good Ventures is reimbursing, a significant portion of this designated Open Philanthropy stuff. But I guess there's sort of almost three entities here instead of two. There's GiveWell, the content creation group, Open Philanthropy, the content creation group, and then kind of a GiveWell structure, which is kind of a super structure for both things. Is that reasonable
yeah.
or an accurate viewpoint?
That's right. I mean, the caveat I'd put is that we are aiming to separate the two organizations, so it's like sometimes we kind of act or talk as though they're two separate organizations that are one organization for now for convenience. But, as far as how things work now, like what you said is absolutely right. And, you know, you are board members currently of an organization that houses both, and therefore, you know, your duties as board members apply to both.
If there are no other questions on this, let's move on to the next topic, which is related, so there may be some overlap. And this is just a check-in on the GiveWell and Good Ventures relationship. This is, you know, this is an annual thing that I think we agreed to start doing when we started working very closely with Good Ventures and Kerry. You know, we share an office with Kerry, and so, you know, I think that you all, the board, wanted to just, you know, hear from us how things were going. I mean, I think you've heard that, you know, we think things are going extremely well. We're, you know, very happy working together with Kerry and Good Ventures. We're excited about this partnership.
When does Kerry leave when we say what we really think?
That was on the
thanks. Thanks, Holden. So, you know, we agreed at one point that we'd also like have a conversation with Kerry stepping out of the room. But I think what we should probably do is first, you know, just see if there's any questions that people will ask while Kerry's here, because I think it, you know, often gets difficult for us to, you know, speak on Kerry's behalf, and some of the key questions are ones that Kerry's the best position to answer. But then we'll definitely ask Kerry to step out for however long people want, and we can, you know, talk about things without her present. So any questions or anything that people want to hear on this item?
Kerry, could I just ask, are you generally, are there things you want to do via Good Ventures that you feel are either would be a distraction from your work with GiveWell or are incompatible in some way? I'm just sort of wondering if there are other kind of goals or objectives that are springing up that are somehow not, you know, essentially in line with the activities thus far.
Yeah, I mean, there is some work that we want to do that is outside of the Open Philanthropy Project agenda and the GiveWell agenda. You know, we've made a handful of grants outside of those two agendas, but it's relatively small, and most of my focus is on the Open Philanthropy Project and GiveWell in terms of my time and also in terms of our giving.
Kerry, do you play any role in performance evaluations of folks at GiveWell, or I guess prospectively in Open Philanthropy employees?
Not a formal role. You know, Ellie and Holden always ask me if I have any thoughts at, you know, the annual performance review time. You know, when I'm working with GiveWell staff and have, you know, positive or negative feedback, I'm always sure to give that to mostly Ellie, who's managing many of the people that, you know, I might work with. But it's not a formal role, though. Does that sound right, Ellie?
Yeah, I mean, you're also, you know, when we talk about like hiring people for like open fill positions, like you're very involved in that recruiting process.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so Kerry, maybe you should just step out for a minute. We'll
sure.
See if anything exciting happens while you're gone. And then we're going to pause. I guess we'll pause the recordings for this part of
all
the
of
conversation. God, there's so many recordings to pause.
How many are there?
Well, I'm running three for some reason.
There's like...
This call is being recorded.
All right, we're back.
Todd, I was just going to say, it sounds like things are going really well, and, you know, I think it's just a matter of sort of keeping your common sense antenna out for potential differing priorities or management issues or money issues.
Yep.
Like any marriage.
Like any marriage.
Great.
Cool.
So let's move on to the budget stuff. I mean, the way that we were hoping to structure this was there's a few separate attachments that relate to budget, and we wanted to first just give people a chance to take a look at the budget as a whole, which is and relates to attachments D, E, and F, and just ask questions about it. And then we're going to have a vote on Holden and my proposed compensation change. The rest of the compensation changes for the rest of staff are included in the overall budget. We haven't, you know, laid those out, but the board votes on our compensation. And then finally, we would, after voting for our compensation, vote on the full budget approval. So let's just start with this item E, which is any questions or discussion of items D, E, and F. And Bridget, I remember you had a question about at least one of these, so I'm happy to start there if you want.
Sorry, I had to unmute. Yeah, my question was in regards to not the operating expenses. This is for been reviewing April 2014. Not the operating expenses, but below that, the grant securities, if there is a breakdown between GiveWell and OpenFill.
So the grants to charities, that's all GiveWell, I believe.
Okay.
That is money that donors give to GiveWell for the support of our top charities, and we're just granting directly out to those charities.
So are we at this point saying these are open? Are we saying there's anything like an OpenFill grant, or is it at this point that's coming from Good Ventures?
Those have come from Good Ventures. We're in the midst of rearranging things and may already have done so that there's another thing, an OpenFill donor advised fund, and you know grants are going to come from that. But there haven't been any OpenFill grants that have come from this budget.
Okay.
And, yeah.
This is Julia. I actually had one question about attachment E, the explanation of change in our request for funding from Good Ventures. There's a section that says changing cap on individual donor support, saying that they're planning to cap any individual donor support at 10% of the total expenses. This only affects one past donation, but will cause us to grant out approximately $250,000 in unrestricted funds. I don't understand why capping it causes you to grant out that money.
Yeah, so we had one individual donor who gave, you know, something like $600,000 to GiveWell unrestricted. And, you know, we decided for the purpose of, you know, some combination of budgeting and not relying too much on an individual that, you know, we don't have nearly as close a relationship with as we do with Good Ventures. And also, you know, just trying to be like thoughtful stewards of this person's funding, which they're giving to us unrestricted and largely trusting us to do with, you know, what we think is best, to cap the total gift at 10% of our future operating expenses. And so very roughly, it was around $350,000 that are going to operations and $250,000 that we're planning to grant out to top charities. And that's,
okay.
Yeah, that's the plan.
Okay, so it's going to the top charities, but that's what I didn't understand. Okay.
Oh, yep, got it. Just going to top charities.
I was confused about that, too. Okay. So the $350,000 that's going to operating expenses, that's just the one...
Year. Yeah, this is just a, you know, one year, one time thing. I mean, it obviously could happen again, but this is the general rule we're planning to follow in the future with individual donors who give such large amounts.
So if this donor didn't again give next year, that could be a $350,000
So you know, we're yeah. So I mean, in our budgeting, and I don't think we laid this. I think this is included, or we discussed these in attachment D, which is revenue changes and forecasts. So you know, for each major donor that we have, we're trying to project what we expect them to do in the future. And you know, we don't just assume that if a donor has given X in the past, they'll give that again in the future. You know, we are trying to make some basic assessment of what they've told us, what their past giving has been, and how confident we are that they'll be able to continue doing what they've done. And then, you know, we have different forecasts, which have different levels of aggressiveness or conservativeness. And so I don't believe we're actually even... I could like look this up if you wanted me to, but I would guess that we're not projecting that this donor gives us $350,000 again in the future. Instead, we're like expecting some smaller amount. So I think we actually say like we expect at least $100,000 from this person, and then you know another $200,000 or $250,000 that there's like a 50% chance of it coming in or not, and that's how we budgeted.
Okay, and I'll just say I love Schedule D, or it's actually D, that way of sort of breaking it out by probability and I'm imagining a donor-by-donor analysis. I think provides a really clear picture. So thanks.
Cool.
Sweet.
So, continuing on that theme, the people in in attachment D, 3B, are expected to continue to give at this level. How are... I'm confused the difference between 3B and 4.
Three B and 4. So first of all, like one thing that may be like sort of confusing about attachment D is that it's focused on changes rather than like the levels. So it's talking about where did the additional revenue come from. The difference between 3 and 4 is that 3 is new sources of revenue that to some extent we expect to recur in the future, with, you know, differing levels of confidence that those funds will renew. And 4 is just individual donations that we have so little information about that we do not expect to recur, those specific donations. But we've had enough experience now, with these one-off donations that we don't expect to recur, that we build in some amount of what we've called one-off donations into our budget projection.
Did you maybe invert on 4 because you're saying you expect that to go from 44 to 370? Did you maybe say that you expect it to go from 326 to 370?
Yeah, that looks that way, but I'd have to check.
Because otherwise it seems unusual to project it to go up eightfold or something like that in a year.
Yeah, I'll check that after the call and send out an email.
It looks like 326 plus 44 is 370. So maybe 326 increased to 370.
Yeah, it's certainly a possibility.
I've got a couple questions. If we go back, if I can switch back to the expense side rather than the revenue side, the line item for research analysts. I guess there's been sort of two questions about the research analyst line item, which is one of the larger line items here. You're saying here that you were at 15 research analysts at the beginning of the year. You're going to add 8. But the figure for the – I didn't do the math here – but the figure for the second half of the year looks like it scales up more, significantly more than one might expect, Merrill Lynch going from 15 to 23 research analysts. And I guess tying into this question,
This may be related to, you said that raises for the research analysts were reflected in the budget but haven't been broken out, but I was wondering if you could briefly discuss the big picture on research analysts, if their pay raises there and how much they are and so on.
Sure. So, you know, there the July through December side of the budget incorporates both new hires and, you know, both new hires and raises. Another difference that could be like throwing off the intuitive calculation you're doing is that, you know, there are people who started in March, April, May, and, you know, March, April, and May who are, you know, maybe adding to that total in a way that is, you know, is confusing. I think it's even possible that there's a larger increase than just 15 at the beginning of the year to 23 by September 1st. I think it's probably more than that. And this document is just a little bit stale because we've, you know, just that specific part of this document, the explanation is stale relative to what the current situation is with staff. There are raises built into this as well. And, you know, the general picture with research analyst staff and, you know, other non-Holden LE staff at GiveWell is that, generally speaking, you know, we've had, I think, great success, you know, bringing really talented people on and also seeing people who we hired in past years mature and take on significantly more responsibility at GiveWell and OpenPhil. And so, I mean, we're increasing pay commensurate with the responsibility that people are taking on. So, you know, for example, a year ago, Holden or I was the, you know, direct manager of every other person on staff. And now we have a number of other people who are, you know, the direct superiors of others. And so people have stepped into, you know, leadership roles and management roles, and, you know, their compensation, we're planning to adjust their compensation upwards significantly based on that additional responsibility.
What's the total staff size at the moment, both research analysts and others, and an overall total, I guess?
I think it's like 23 right now, but I'm not positive.
I feel like when you were prepped me for the event a week or two ago, it was like 23 now and 30 by the end of like the new book starting.
So we're like 23 now, and we're adding to add like 8 or 9 people by the end of the year. And
is that 23 including both the OpenPhil side and the GiveWell side?
Yes.
Yeah.
And the vast majority of people are research analysts. You know, research analyst is sort of our generic name for like generalist employee, but, you know, we have made some hires that don't have that title. So, you know, we hired a program officer for criminal justice reform, Chloe Cockburn. She's a program officer. We've hired a number.
Wouldn't be in that number. She hasn't started yet.
But it's in the end of the year number.
Okay.
And we're planning to bring on 2 more. You know, operations associates are responsibility. So, you know, things like office management, the office, finding a new office space, and also play a major role in, you know, putting together the summary, putting together those conversations. And then we also, we've hired our first, is going to be explicitly focused on, you know, that we haven't done in the past because Holden and I were the main people doing that. And you know, we just didn't have the time. You know, we're excited about what she might be able to do as well.
We need to vote on anything?
No. So let's move on to, thanks Rob. Let's move on to the next attachment, which is the LE Holden compensation, the Carrie, leaving the room session, which is like, I think first it would be good asking with, Holden and me in the room. And I think in with Devin at the board. And then, you know, but you know, keep in mind when you're discussing the room, because we know the details of these documents better than, you know, the rest of you do.
And it's not too.
So, any questions about the proposal?
Helpful if you could just summarize the basis for your recommendation? You know, look to, you know, the $150,000 salary is sort of, you know, generally around the 50th percentile.
I mean, I think the basic basic logic here is that I think when we look at the Holden and I are playing, which is, you know, the, you know, two most senior, mostly the median is above what we're asking for. And, you know, in some asking for, because, you know, I don't think we are yet in a place where GiveWell is really operating for ourselves to operate. And so, you know, we're still in, you know, startup mode. We're still being cautious. It leads us to want to be like generally conservative in what we ask for. And so we think the, you know, the ask is like logic. And yeah, I mean, that's it. Holden, did you have anything to add on that?
Be fully comparable to these organizations? I mean, I think we could justify a higher number. Like, I know we think about the fact that our pay is part of the budget, and it framed, like, it seems to us appropriate. We've basically been bringing it up, you know, in incrementally comfortable pace to us and a comfortable pay scale, and leaves room to grow. And so that we did the comps and they told us to ask for exactly this number. I would more say we've been bringing our, and, you know, with all the things that our pay means, we picked a number that we feel comfortable with. I think, you know, changing at this time and how we want the budget to be changing. And then we looked at the comps to confirm that what we're doing.
You guys propose is, you know, more than reasonable given the cost of living in the Bay Area, in favor of. And my question is, because I had the salaries that you offer to people you're bringing on board are enough to, in the Bay Area, and the salaries you have to offer, a challenge for bringing the folks.
Something we're aware of and very sensitive to. Thus far, I don't think it's a major consideration for people who are considering working for GiveWell and living in the Bay Area. Explicitly with individuals on staff about, you know, both when they're considering taking the job and once they're, whether, you know, we're asking people to sacrifice too much or make trade-offs, you know, just for the sake of working here. And it's sort of an active discussion that we,
you know. I'd add one more thing, which is that, you know, it's not, I mean, even though I think we are using offices with more senior roles, we're not, it's, our pay is not a max. And so, you know, there will be, because they're, you know, they're more senior, they're a different stage in their career. And so that's, you know, we have reasonable there. Like, I think the difference has been justifiable based on, like, just stage of career and resume.
We send Holden and Ellie out of the room now.
Yeah.
Any other comments?
Yeah, so we're gonna stop all the recording. And then Carrie, just come grab us. We'll be around.
We send a vote to Holden or Ellie or which?
I think it's only the elections that have to be in writing. I think this is just an act of the board.
I think, got it.
Alright.
I think we had a unanimous approval, but if we need to do something more formal where you hear it.
I guess if the chair tells me that happened, then we're good.
Okay, Tom? Yeah, great. Say your name.
Wait, are we recording, though?
No.
Just,
should we
turn that
on?
This
is the board. It's on, yes.
What? Get back, because he can turn the recording back on.
Okay, sure. He's just on his way back now.
Probably have a longer break.
Here
yeah.
He is. Email
home. No, I don't think that has to be in writing. That's
right.
What I was saying.
Oh, okay.
I think
I
we just do it verbally. It's only elections that have to be in writing.
Okay, fine with me.
But you should turn the recording back.
This call is being recorded.
Well, I vote in favor.
Holden. Yeah, rewind.
Ron votes yes.
Ron votes yes.
I vote yes. Tim votes yes.
Great. So So if there's, I guess there's no other questions on that, let's just do the final piece of this, which if there's any other questions, happy to take them now about the budget, but otherwise I think we should just do the verbal vote thing.
So what exactly are we voting on for the budget? Are we voting on period and what amounts are we voting?
The full 2015 budget.
Bill votes yes.
Jake votes yes.
Holden, yes.
Carrie votes yes.
Well, Julia shouldn't vote yet because we haven't tallied the votes. But Tim, if you were
trying to vote last with mute on, but now I'll go with mute off. Tim votes yes.
Great, thanks. So thanks everyone for joining. If you have any other, anyhow, if you have any other questions, happy to take them now. If not, all right, let's adjourn.
Thanks,
oh.
Thank you.